RadioInfluence.com.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. Let me give some love to our title sponsor, Hess Spinal. If you're in this tough situation, you're in an auto accident, and you need some people to take care of you, whether it's treatment, doctors, just common knowledge by people at Hess Spinal Centers, they're the ones you need to get in contact with. They have 60 locations in the Bay Area, 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress, call Hess, 1-800-618-STRESS. You definitely want to call my people over there at Hess Spinal. Now, let's start talking about In the Trenches. Football season is upon us. Buccaneer training camp is upon us, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the depth chart and what hopefully we're going to expect this year. But before that, let me talk about some goings-on in the NFL all around the league. I just saw that today the Philadelphia Eagles just re-signed Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman, who is their GM. So they have them locked up for a little while. Doug Peterson probably bought himself a good 4 or 5 years of leeway. I mean, he's not going to go anywhere. You bring your team their one championship ever. You pretty much have carte blanche for the next little while, kind of like Joe Madden probably does over there in Chicago. I mean, he's going to be the man for quite a while. So, the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, they're going to be building. I don't know if anybody expected the Eagles to win the Super Bowl last year, but they did. And it's one of those things where sometimes when you mess around and win something beforehand, now you start talking about dynasties. Now you want a Super Bowl with a quarterback that wasn't even your Super Bowl quarterback. Carson Wentz is their Super Bowl quarterback, and they won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. So I guarantee over there in Philadelphia, they're trying to get better this year, and they're expecting to win a Super Bowl because that's where they are at this point. Now, I don't know if you guys watched all those Hall of Fame inductions. I didn't watch it all. I was blessed to have gone a few years ago when Warren Sapp got inducted. It was a great time, a great chance to see a bunch of people I hadn't seen in a long time, ran into a bunch of Hall of Famers. Got a chance to watch a few of the speeches the other day. Thought Brian Urlacher had a good speech. I watched a little bit of Ray Lewis's. Didn't get a chance to listen to all of it. It was 33 minutes. From what I hear, is the longest one on record. Ray's a passionate dude. He doesn't blow a lot of smoke, so if there's anybody who could speak for that long, it would be Ray Lewis. Brian Dawkins had a good speech. I know Brian Dawkins from Philadelphia when he came in there. And, you know, it's good to see some of these young guys that I didn't get a chance to watch them grow up, but got a chance to watch them come up into the league and see what they've turned into. So congratulations to all those guys. Terrell Owens still wanted to be the center of attention by not being the center of attention. If he had just shown up and did his Hall of Fame speech, that would have been like everybody else. And T.O. always does stuff different than everybody else. So he went to his college alma mater and he did his pretty much his acceptance speech with his, you know, Hall of Fame coat on, and to each his own. But, you know, it just seemed a little silly when you get pretty much passed over for 2 years. And we're going to sit here and argue whether T.O. should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's not up to us to argue because we don't have a vote. If you have a vote, then you vote for him. If he doesn't get in, then that's the process. That's the way it goes. But to sit here and say that he deserved to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, well, you don't deserve to if you didn't get in. That's the process. There's no other way to look at it. So you didn't get in. You didn't deserve it. The year after, you didn't get in again. Then you didn't deserve it. It has nothing to do sometimes with whether you were a good enough football player. It's just whether you deserved it. You didn't get in by going through the same process everybody else did. Jerry Kramer, who was an old guard for the Packers back in the day, he just got in. He got drafted in 1958. You don't hear him bitching and moaning, do you? He got drafted in 1958 and just got in. And you got passed over twice. When it's all said and done, nobody's going to give a rat's ass whether you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, whether you got in the third time. Nobody's really going to care, seriously, other than you. So T.O. still gets in. He still gets a bust. He still gets all those things. But it just looks a little bit silly. When I think he's even going to look back at this and say to himself probably somewhere down the way that maybe this was a little bit childish, a little bit silly. But then again, you know, he's not the youngest person. Terrell Owens is, you know, he's in his mid-40s. He's old enough to know better, you would think. But, you know, he's in. Everybody else is in, so congratulations to all those guys. Now, the Buccaneers have been out there banging, so to speak, quote-unquote, for the last week or so. They're going inside their 11-on-11 facility quite often. It's as a former player, I don't want to go in that building. I don't want to mess around with turf ever, you know, with old knees and old ankles. That's the last place you want to go. You know, for the Buccaneers, what that does add to their repertoire is that, you know, they won't miss practice. If they do get rained out, they can go inside and finish the whole practice. So for coaches, that's great. For players, you know, sometimes it's nice to get a day off. Although these guys get a lot of free resting time. I mean, compared to what some of the things we used to go through. But what's really tough is, coaches have to go through their analysis and they have to figure out who can play and who can't play. But it's not like it used to be where there was a ridiculous amounts of reps, you know, that you can evaluate. It's not like that anymore. It's really a tough situation when you're a young player now in the NFL trying to make it because you don't get enough. You don't get that many opportunities. There used to be a lot of opportunities. There's just not that many out there anymore because it's hard for these coaches to deal with playing time, starting reps, backup reps, third string reps. Just say, for instance, in our quarterback situation, when the Buccaneers play the Dolphins on Thursday night, you know, is that game an important game? No. I mean, that's the least important game, you know, in the league. The first preseason game it's an irrelevant game. Now, here's a problem. You go into the first regular season game and Ryan Fitzpatrick is your starting quarterback. That's already etched in stone. We know that's the deal unless he gets hurt. So in the first preseason game, do you play Ryan Fitzpatrick? This is your opening day starter now. So he is the man. Do you play him? If you play him, how much do you play him? Do you start him? If you start him, how much does he play? When he comes out, do you put Jameis Winston in the football game with the twos? Think about that now. That's your future. That's the future of your franchise. Do you put him in with the twos? How much do you put Ryan Fitzpatrick in there? Do you put Jameis in with the ones at all? Because after the third game of the season, it's his baby. He's got to start getting used to playing with the ones. So that's a conundrum that this Buccaneer front office is going to be under because just playing time in general, when you look around the league, a lot of these players that are coming back from injuries, you don't know how much to play them. If you think of players like Andrew Luck's a great example. Andrew Luck pretty much has done nothing for the last 2 years. Can Andrew Luck play football? Yes. Has he been playing football? No. How much work does he need in the preseason? How many full-speed reps does he need in the preseason? Your timing is going to be off as an athlete, especially as a quarterback, if you haven't played for a while. So how much are you going to put him in there and take a chance of him getting hurt? How much are you going to do? Odell Beckham. You don't want him to get hurt, obviously, but you have to get these guys ready to play in the regular season. J.J. Watt. Great name, great football player, when healthy. Hasn't played a lot of football in the last couple of years. Do you baby him or do you put him out there and get him ready? That's tough. Jameis Winston, do you put him out there to get those reps? Do you baby him? Is this even his football team? We're going to find out real quick whether this is Jameis Winston's football team or not. You've heard that he is not on the side of the building. He's not on the side of Raymond James Stadium, which would have to make anybody scratch their head. And he's not going to be starting the first three games of the season. That doesn't mean he's not the man. That doesn't mean he's not the future of this football team. But it does mean that things are changing. Things are definitely changing. If you've heard, Nike dropped Jameis Winston as an endorser. That's a big deal, whether you think so or not. Because there's quarterbacks that have done dumb stuff in the past that Nike's retained. But with this day of Me Too and zero tolerance for somebody that pretty much admitted that he did something in that Uber cab. He didn't say it, but you're admitting you did something if you are taking or accepting that three-game suspension. So Nike has dropped Jameis Winston. He'll probably be picked up by Reebok or Adidas or somebody like that. That'll probably happen. But things are changing, man. 2 years ago, you'd have never thought that Jameis would be on this team and not be on the side of that, you know, Raymond James Stadium. I mean, he's the man. And that's what's happening right now. Now, we haven't got a chance to hear a whole lot about our first round draft pick, Vita V, who got, you know, got carted off the field in the first practice. Now, I went to 11 training camps and played 9 years. And I got carted off the field one time. And that was when we played the Raiders in L.A. And that ended my season. When you get carted off the field, that usually takes a while to come back. And as a 360, 350-pound man, what you don't want is for him to have a bad calf in training camp while everybody else is busting their ass. He's probably sitting in a training room right now, gaining weight and not gaining any great reps. And for a first-time player that's coming into the league for the first time, those reps that you put in the first week and a half to 2 weeks, those are crucial reps and crucial mistakes that Vita V is not making. He still has to go out there and make his mistakes. And right now, he's not out there making the mistakes that he's supposed to be making. He's not getting acclimated to the heat. He's not getting acclimated to the speed of the NFL. And he's sitting back and watching. And that's not a good place to be. So, once again, we're always going to keep a good eye on Vita V because, like I said, me and Warren Sapp went back and forth. I thought that was a good pick. He tried to tell me it wasn't. And I'm hoping that's a good pick because Vita V does not look like anybody else we've ever drafted here in with the Buccaneers. But maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe there's a reason why we haven't gone out and got that 350-pound football player. But he's definitely missing out on some really, really key reps right now, and that's not a good thing. Earl Thomas over there in Seattle land has still not reported. And I don't know what Seattle wants for Earl Thomas, but I would sure enough go and get Earl Thomas. I don't know. Once again, Dirk Cutter and Jason Light, if they don't get it done this year, they're out. They're outie, okay? So go get you a leader. Go get you a football player. I don't care what it costs. If it costs you a second-round draft pick, who gives a crap? What are you going to do with a second-round draft pick when you're not here next year? And there's prognosticators and out there predicting that the Bucs go 2-14 and 1-15. For God's sakes, if people think that you're that bad, but you better go out and get you some football players. And Earl Thomas is a football player. I don't care what team he plays on. I don't play who he's playing against. Earl Thomas is going to be out there making plays. So if there's any way the Bucs can figure out a way to go and get Earl Thomas, I think there's got to be a way for them to go out there and snag this guy because he makes the team better immediately. If you got a chance to watch some of the preseason football, you're hearing of some of these, you know, these new rules that are being implemented with the helmet. You can't lead with your helmet. Now, the NFL has had this, it had pretty much this rule implemented for many years, and now they're going to start throwing the flags. And supposedly they had the referees in training camp trying to explain to the players the difference between the rules now and last year, and pretty much the referees can't explain it. The referees can't explain it because it's another one of those gray rules that are covering the ass of the NFL and as far as the litigation goes. So there's a rule somewhere that says that states that a running back cannot lower his head while running. Everybody knows every running back lowers their head. So when you have that rule in place that obviously nobody's been throwing the flag on, and then all of a sudden they're going to talk about bringing that rule back up, there's going to be a lot of very questionable flags that go on this year. And there's already so many darn questionable flags out there, seriously. So to me, if you're going to implement a new rule, that's fine. But make sure it's cut and dry and whack, white and black and not gray, which unfortunately a lot of the new rules seem to be gray and nobody really knows what's going on out there. So if anybody's got a chance to go out to One Buck Place and watch them practice, they've done the majority of their practices that people are watching inside. I've seen a couple things on social media of Jameis hitting DeSean Jackson, which is a good thing. As far as the wide receiver core that we have here this year, I mean, I don't know if this isn't clearly the most talented wide receiver core that we've had here in the past. Don't know if it's going to be the most effective, but talent-wise, we got a lot of talent. When you talk about Godwin and where he can go, Adam Humphries, Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, that's a lot of talent used the right way. And obviously the one bond is the quarterback who obviously has to give these guys the ball, and the offensive line who obviously has to give them some time, and the running game, which is going to make everything that much easier. So to me, the running game might be more important than our wide receiving core. Ronald Jones, people are saying, is fast, is out there. He's fast as hell, but then you're hearing that he's having problems catching the ball out of the backfield. And there's a little, when you're a rookie quarterback, or when you're a rookie running back, there's little things like picking up the offense, picking up blitzes, blocking out of the backfield. You know, when you're a 215-pound running back, it might seem easy to block a linebacker, but them 250-pound some bitches are coming hard as hell, and not everybody's suited for that. And not everybody's suited for every offense. Like Charles Sims is a guy who's been on our team for a long time, and he has a role. But as far as regular offense goes, he just doesn't really fit. He's not a great natural running back. Catching the ball out of the backfield in space, Charles Sims is great. Jacquizz Rodgers is more of that in between the tackles, lower your head type of guy. So we'll see how this whole running game goes. Obviously, it's predicated on our offensive line, which is going to be moved around a little bit. I'm in touch with DeMar Dotson, who's getting over a knee surgery. He looks like he's about ready to roll. He probably won't play early in this preseason. Donovan Smith, I don't know. If somebody said, how is Donovan Smith as an NFL player? I would say he's a left tackle in the making, but he's been around for a long time. Like, I'm not sure he's a left tackle. He plays like a right tackle. Like, a right tackle is more of a mauling, greasy type of guy. Left tackles are usually more finesse. To be honest with you, DeMar Dotson plays more like a left tackle. Kind of long, pass-blocking type guy. And Donovan Smith, he gets out there, he survives, but he's still making some really bonehead, rookie-type mistakes, which you don't want to continue to watch. This Ryan Jensen kid at center supposedly has got a little grit to him, which is good. Ali Marpet's going to be playing left guard. And the right guard position is going to be Caleb Benenock and Alex Kappa. They're going to be going for that spot over there. So there's some competition offensively, not a whole lot. Tight end, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard. To me, you can just go with the hot hand there. Both of them have the ability to block. And if we can come out with two tight ends on a regular and come out and attack teams that way and be able to run the football and have two tight ends on the football field, that have the ability to stretch the field, which Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard can both do, I can see that being our most popular set out there, two tight end set. I'm hoping that they want to get both those guys on the football field. And they both have a whole lot of talent, and you don't have to even call either one of these guys a starter. They can both be starters to me. Defensively, the big acquisition was obviously Jason Pierre-Paul. Sat down and talked to Damar Dotson a little bit, asked him about Jason Pierre-Paul. And Jason Pierre-Paul has something that is uncoachable, which is length. He's extremely long. He's extremely athletic. Damar basically said, and he's like Gumby. So when you say somebody's like Gumby, that means they're able to distort their body and do some funky things. If you remember Jason Pierre-Paul in college walking on the football field on his hands, obviously you're an amazing athlete if you're that size and you can do that kind of stuff. So we have to figure out a way to manufacture a pass rush. That's the most important thing that we have on our docket this year. And the four defensive linemen that we have to figure out ways to do it. V to V, we haven't seen anything yet. He's been on a training table, which is not a good thing. Gerald McCoy is going to be Gerald McCoy. I mean, I'm going to tell you what he's going to get. 8.5 sacks, and he's going to have 33-ish tackles. That's what Gerald McCoy is going to do. That's it. I mean, that's been pretty much his career when he's been healthy. Vinny Curry was told more of a plugging guy, not so much that pass rushing guy, but we have Noah Spence, and we got a lot of other names that can come in and substitute. We've not really had depth at our D-line, because you look at some teams that are great at pass rushing, they're bringing in brand new, fresh cats whenever possible. When the Bucs were great way back when in the late 90s and early 2000s, they had backup. They always had backup defense alignment, whether it was Chidi Ahanotu to Tyoka Jackson. There's always been names of guys that have come in and done a great job backing up and still going out there and doing his thing. Linebacker-wise, I think, I'm not sure, this is not the strength of our team. Kendall Beckwith impressed me immensely last year. Maybe he has to improve a little bit on covering, you know, in the pass game, but very physical guy. Quan Alexander, I think, is probably one of the best middle linebackers in the NFL right now, probably still very underrated. Lavonte Davis still doing his thing out there. And then the backfield is going to look a lot like it did last year. Chris Conte is somebody who I don't know if is going to be starting this year. Keith Tandy's a guy that I liked, didn't play as well as he probably should have last year. But when you, once again, if you see an Earl Thomas out there, go figure out a way to go find me an Earl Thomas from Seattle. Find me an Earl Thomas, and we'll just figure out ways to get him in there and make our team better. That's for sure. So we have personnel out there. Unfortunately, we have turmoil as well. We have some unknowns. It's going to be everybody out there is tight at one buck place right now, because it's hard to be loose and have fun knowing that everybody's job is on the line this year. And I mean every single person at one Buccaneer place that wears a jersey or wears a coaching shirt or wears a front office polo, you're all of your jobs are on the line this year. And I think they know that. So this is going to be a tense football season. It's a tense football season with your franchise quarterback suspended for the first three games. Backup quarterback getting in there that you have confidence in, that's fine. But it's not really stacking up like it was last year for success. Because last year I thought it stacked up for success. This year, it's not quite stacked up nearly as much. But then crazy stuff happens. Crazy stuff happens, and maybe you mess around and you figure out a way to win two out of the first three games of the season, and then you figure out ways to go from there. But then you win two out of the first three games, and everybody's going to be chanting Fitzy in the stands, and that adds a little extra pressure to our franchise quarterback, who doesn't really know if he's a franchise quarterback at all. anymore, because I don't think I do, that's for sure. If anybody wants to ever email me and ask me any questions, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. I also have two other podcasts, the Cannabis Podcast, which comes out on Wednesdays, and also Flavor in Your Ear, that comes out on Fridays. And I love doing this one because the Buccaneers always have a bunch of wonderful things going on during training camp. Football season's right around the corner. They played a preseason game on Thursday night against the Miami Dolphins, so we'll have a little bit to talk about next Monday. But it's football season. It's right up on us. Preseason football is watchable yet unwatchable. I always have it as background music or whatever you want to call it. But it's football season. I'm feeling good about myself. And it's about time to get that fantasy football stuff going as well. So we're going to start getting into that as we progress through the football season. So thank you for listening in. This has been In the Trenches, and we'll be back next week. Everybody enjoy their week of football viewing. Peace out.
You have been In the Trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence. This is a Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
Would I like it all to be done? Would I like this to be the turnaround for Urban Meyer for being someone that maybe finally learned his lesson? He's humbled now. Maybe just fall on it and say, it's been a humbling experience. I've made mistakes. I now realize as a father of two girls, loving wife, I dropped the ball. It's me. She should have gotten the help earlier, and she didn't because I tried to handle it a different way. I screwed it up. I was wrong. And if I pay for it with my career and my job, I deserve it. I love the chance to go forward to be an advocate, not only for Ohio State, but for, you know, helping domestic violence. You know, put foundations together, do things financially, but do things speaking wise, to show that I'm more than a football coach. Would I like to see him revive his career or continue his career with that mission and motive? Yes, I would. I would. Selfishly as a football guy, I would. Selfishly as I like Urban as a person, I would. Do I think he deserves that chance? I'm not sure that he does. In fact, I am pretty sure that he doesn't.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.